With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When it's the dog days of summer, that means just one thing. Time the clock out, sit back, relax.
Shut up!
Yeah.
All right? How about that?
Sorry about that. It's time to lock in for another edition of Moneyline with the two best hosts on radio, Donnie Wrightside.
But it is what it is. Otherwise, if we just ran off a spreadsheet, there'd be no gambling, there'd be no sports books, because everybody would just press buttons and win every single thing they absolutely bet at that point.
And Kevin Walsh.
Even if the matchup's a little worse, Donnie, odds are he's going to bounce back because he's just been too good kind of right now, and he let an opportunity pass him by.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
It's Monday, people. Ah, yeah. New week, new money right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Moneyline, the best hour of your day now officially is underway. And it's a solo mission today, which means we are going to spend a lot of time on Major League Baseball today, getting that money flowing early in the week. Friday night, not a great night for your boy Donnie Wrightside. Saturday, unbelievably spectacular. And Sunday, I think I ended up winning $20 when it was all said and done. So today, full card. You got the Yankees out here in these streets on the road, taking on the worst team in baseball. That's the Chicago White Sox. You know what that line is right now? Let me go get the updated numbers because we're going to go across the board here. Let me see real quick. Luis Gil, Kai Bush, opened up as a minus 270 price at FanDuel. That's where it started. FanDuel's up to 330. DraftKings is up to 340. BetMGM here in New Jersey is up to 350. That's a road team. Luis Gil and the Yankees on the road as a 350 favorite today. Total listed at 9. And we got a lot of games here. How many do we have in total here? Let's just see. 3, 6, 9, 11. You got 11 games on a Monday. We can never complain about that. So we'll get to that. We'll handicap each one of those games. Got some RBI perspective. But just to tell you, take a look right now. Not a lot of great fadeable pitchers on that card today. But it doesn't mean we can't make some money by making some shrewd decisions. But a lot of stuff happened over the weekend that we got to catch up with. A full slate of NFL action. We'll take a look at some of those rookie quarterbacks that were shining over the weekend and what we can look forward to if some of those rookie quarterbacks who were, hint, Bo Nix, third on the depth chart, to see if they've actually moved up. Quite frankly, I think they should have. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Major League Baseball over the weekend. Mariners had a pretty solid weekend. The Phillies stunk. The Mets stunk. I don't know what's going on with the Pittsburgh Pirates, but it looks like they're going to be on an extended losing streak, which could carry into today. The Atlanta Braves going on the road to take on Colorado, losing that series, but losing in epic fashion, man. My goodness. Cruise control in that game. Would they give up 7 runs, I believe, in the bottom of the 7th inning and coughed up that baseball game? It's outrageous, man. And then you got to go on the road today and take on maybe the hottest pitcher in baseball on the San Francisco Giants, and that's Blake Snell. Good luck for the Atlanta Braves to sort of get themselves off. The Philadelphia Phillies, who got tanked in Arizona. By the way, Arizona's coming on strong. San Diego was coming on strong. The Dodgers are a good baseball team. Where do the Giants fit into this? Boy, that NL West, that arms race over the winter, now starting to pay those dividends. Some of those teams like the Diamondbacks, who made it to the World Series last year, now looking to fight their way back. But let's talk about the Olympics as we start off the program today. And it's a perfect spot because the Olympics are done. 2 weeks out there in Paris. Fantastic. I thought Paris did a great job of hosting the games. Did I care about the opening ceremonies? No, not really. Do I care about the closing ceremonies? No, I don't. But Team USA, from start to finish, was absolutely spectacular, whether it was in the pool, whether it was track and field, whether it was on, obviously, the basketball court. Everything lived up to the hype, and I thought they did a wonderful job. And also, I loved the fact that the time zone that it was in. I thought it was spectacular because from my viewing purposes, obviously waking up early in the morning, doing an early morning show, and then carrying on to the radio, it was nice to have that in my background for two straight weeks. If I wanted to watch the stuff live, I could do that. But also, I thought NBC did a pretty good job at night, literally setting the stage for what happened during the day and presenting you in the evening for all the key updates, components, and races, and anything that you wanted to watch, they were able to provide. I thought it was great. Now, we look forward to 2028, which is Los Angeles, and that's the next Olympiad in the United States and what that means. It should be fun to watch it play out, and also some baseball will be included. And I said this morning, guys. You know me. I love baseball. I love to handicap it. It carries me through from post-football season, basically, all the way through to football season once again. No way, shape, or form Major League Baseball players should be backing in this. No way, shape, or form. You want baseball, let the amateurs, let the college kids play for it and see what they can do. We're not shutting down Major League Baseball for 2 weeks because think about it. In Major League Baseball, to make the Olympics, it's not every pitcher, every team sending multiple guys. You know, let's just say Team USA has a roster of 25 guys at a Major League Baseball. And let's just say around the world, if they qualified, let's just add on, I don't know, another 200 players. There are so many players in Major League Baseball that what's going to happen? You shut it down for 3.5 to 4 weeks, then you just get started up where the pitchers aren't pitching. That can't happen. I understand that baseball is talking about it. It's going to be on the biggest stage. There's no way, shape, or form baseball should be included. Second topic here. If you saw any of the, I guess, commercials for the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles, Jalen Hurts of the Philadelphia Eagles does appear on some of those, saying that flag football is coming and what's going to take place. Once again, in no way, shape, or form should NFL players basically be in training camp, leave training camp to go play flag football. There's no, we don't let those players get hit in practice. We don't let those players play in preseason games for the most part, but you're going to let them play 5, 6, 7, 8 games of flag football out there with a chance to hurt a hamstring, an ankle, get nicked up before the season? Absolutely no way. Would it be fun if it could happen? Sure it would. But you are not sending your best player. Patrick Mahomes is not playing in the Olympics. There's no way, shape, or form if I'm the Chiefs ownership group, general manager, or whoever the coach is going to be at that time, have him play. It can't happen. It can't happen. You want to have some USFL guys, some college football players, I'm all about that. We'll watch, we'll enjoy it, we'll see. It's fun. We don't need Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes out there. We just don't need it. Let the other kids play. We don't need a redeem team or anything like that for the NFL or for flag football. Just let it be a sport and let the amateurs and or minor leagues of professional sports basically play those games. Same thing with Major League Baseball included. But we did see a fantastic finish to the games in Paris, talking about the men's Olympic team. Did you have fun watching them in this tournament? Not necessarily for myself, until they met Serbia and were within an inch of their lives of not being able to win the gold medal or get to the gold medal round. Pulled that game out. LeBron James spectacular. Steph Curry spectacular. Team USA rising to the occasion. Joel Embiid was fantastic in that game, propelling them to a game versus France. And France gave them everything, single thing that they could have handled, except they didn't have Steph Curry on their roster. He was tremendous. 24 points overall. What was those shooting statistics again? Let me just bring up the box score quickly on this to get a full concept. He was 8 of 14 from the floor, which meant he was 8 of 13 from three-point range for those 24 points and adding in 5 assists here. How about LeBron James, fresh off a triple-double in the gold medal game, 14 points, 10 assists, and 6 rebounds. Kevin Durant, the easy money sniper out here with big bucket after big bucket, dropping 15 points in there. Tremendous stuff all the way through. And by the way, Team France making it in both women's basketball and men's basketball, that is absolutely tremendous. I mean, that shows when you have a home court advantage and you took care of that home court advantage enough to get both of your teams into the final. And the men's team, 98-87 victory, as we told you, going nuts out there on the court. Nuts with Steph Curry and the boys. You see Team USA in France in women's, 67-66. As ugly as that score sounds, it doesn't matter. Team USA walks away with yet another gold medal, one loss in the Olympics since 1992. Shout out to women for doing big things. And also, if we're going to keep it in the women's game, how about Team USA women's soccer? I don't understand. Some things just don't make sense to me. While we have a soccer program on the women's side that is by far the best in the world, and then have the men's side just could be in a complete embarrassment whenever we get into an international competition. Make it make sense, because I can't make sense of it. A lot more hot topics to come. It's new week. It's new money. It's a Monday. Right here on Moneyline, I'm Donnie Wrightside on a solo mission, and we'll be right back on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cash moves everything around me, baby.
It rules everything. New week, new money, as we like to say at the Sports Grid Network on Moneyline. We'll go over Major League Baseball in just a little bit, but continue to take a look at some of these hot topics which took place over the weekend. Some guys, by the way, I'm going to get to the NFL in just a few moments because there are some things I do want to go over, some looks at quarterbacks that we have, and next week of how important week number two of the preseason is before the meaningless week number three of the preseason, then the NFL regular season begins. But I do want to talk golf. And we're not in major season anymore. But by the way, next week, we do start the FedEx playoffs, which is kind of interesting over the next couple weeks to really crown that true PGA Tour champion. A lot of money is going to be given out, and we'll see how that works out. Maybe it's Scottie Scheffler. Maybe it's Xander Schauffele. Maybe it's another player that sneaks into it. We'll see. But if anybody was watching golf yesterday, and I don't know why you would be, other than just a lazy Sunday where it's okay, Major League Baseball's on in the dog days of summer. You're taking a look at maybe some of those Olympic action. You watch the women's game in the morning. You're watching it wind down, maybe the closing ceremonies. But I'll tell you one closing ceremony which happened yesterday. That was Aaron Rye winning the Wyndham. And the reason why it was interesting is this guy Grazerman, Max Grazerman was his name. He had a four-shot lead with roughly, four or five holes to play, I believe, fresh off of an eagle to take that four-stroke lead. Gave it all back on the next hole by taking a quadruple bogey. Bogey. How about that? Quadruple bogey, if I can spit that out. Now, with that quadruple bogey, still put him in a tie for first place. Play well down the stretch, you'll be able to pull this out. He blew two straight three and a half foot putts here to basically fade out of competition and have Aaron Rye win the Wyndham Challenge, the Wyndham Championship, excuse me. For his first PGA Tour title, which probably would have been Max Grazerman's, but he blows it. I don't know when that guy's going to get a better chance to win on the PGA Tour, but that wasn't even the biggest. Usually that's, hey, you know what? It's a pretty big story. Guy's up four strokes on the back stretch, completely implodes, doesn't end up winning the tournament. That's interesting. But you know what was really interesting yesterday? Matt Kuchar, who I got to tell you, an older guy from the tour. By the way, let me take a look. Let's go Matt Kuchar. How old is Matt Kuchar? I just want to find that out. Because he used to be that fresh face on the tour. He's 46 years old, so he's the same age I am. Went to Georgia Tech, born in 1978. He's been on the tour for a long time. And typically it's him, you know, you don't win any majors, but you grind every week, always has the smile on his face, wears like the regular slacks, like loafer shoes plays, and real easy going. But he took a hit a couple years ago by playing in a tournament in Mexico where he had a caddy. And basically, I guess, told the caddy before the week, I don't have the exact dollar figures. Let's just say I was going to pay him, win or lose, like $5,000. Like, no matter what happened. Great pay, I guess, for that caddy who's not a normal caddy, but he was just going to be the club guy and was going to carry it around. Matt Kuchar ends up winning that tournament and still, like, stuck with, I believe, like the $5,000 or $10,000, whatever he was going to pay him, as opposed to the full share, which probably would have been at least $100,000 or more. And certainly, he took a hit from that because most people would say, hey, that's great pay. Like he offered the guy, I don't know, let's just say again, $5,000 for the week, win or lose for a couple days of work. You'll take that. But also if Matt Kuchar expected to win that tournament and wins it, goes, you know what, man, we all made way more money than we thought we were going to make this weekend. You get your full 10% share, which is 10% share, which is typical of PGA Tour caddies. Now, I understand it wasn't his regular caddy, but still, like the goodwill reaching out, like that would, if it was found out that he was going to pay the guy $5,000, won the tournament and gave him like the full $100,000, whatever it would be, like that would make it around the PGA Tour. Sponsors would love that. He'd make that money back, whatever he was giving up more, $80,000 or $90,000 with whatever he got. Would make it up in spades. But his image took a hit. It was like, no, we agreed to whatever, $5,000. That's all that guy's getting. Strike number one against Matt Kuchar, who, again, seemingly being like one of the nicest, easygoing golfers on tour. Fast forward to what we saw yesterday at the Wyndham Championship. The day was getting long. The tournament was condensed because, obviously, we had some bad weather, which was ripping up and down the East Coast on that hurricane, right? So, played a lot of golf yesterday, but players were finishing up. Matt Kuchar hits a tee shot, which, again, they said he rushed the tee shot and hit up into the players in front of him. So then he goes and marks his golf ball and says, I'm not playing anymore in this round. Everybody else finished out but Matt Kuchar. So Matt Kuchar had no chance to win this competition. If it was, let's just say, you know what? I have a par four here. If I birdie this, I can force a playoff. I'm not comfortable right now. The sun is going down. I can't really see all that much. So I'm not playing the rest of this round. We'll finish this tomorrow. He had no chance to win this golf tournament. So it was difference between of like top 12, maybe top 10, and what would take place. But keep in mind, once again, everybody finished this golf tournament, except Matt Kuchar, which meant everybody had to come back, not the golfers themselves, everybody running the tournament had to come back the next day to make sure this professional finished his final 2 to 3 shots of the round. Just think about that. And by the way, I understand the cameras that are displayed on TV are very good, which means they brighten things up, they make it look much clearer. But the fact that we were watching it is almost like the sun was setting and Matt Kuchar was like, you know what? I don't feel comfortable with playing when everybody else finishing was absolutely fine with finishing that tournament. It's insane that it worked out that way. It is. So he came back this morning to a golf tournament and played what? He had a shot in the fairway, probably put it somewhere around the green and two putted for a par. Think about that. He stayed an extra night there. And again, you're not talking about every ticket taker, every security person coming back. But people had to come back. They had to come back so he could finish his last 3 shots, which made no impact on the tournament, but certainly delayed it for everybody else, PGA Tour officials included. That's absolutely horrendous that actually happened. And quite frankly, it's hilarious. So coming from that, because sometimes there are some bad egg golfers on the tour, right? You would expect that from maybe like a Patrick Reed. Like, I'm not finishing. I'm coming back and so are you. Like, hey, you know what? That's what Patrick Reed really is about at this point. But Matt Kuchar, twice over the past couple years, making egregious errors just to get people upset about him when, quite frankly, he should have just did the right thing in both sides. Finish it out. So, hey, you got a bogey. Oh, that cost me an extra $30,000 for a guy that's made close to $60 million in his career. Finish the tournament. Everybody else did but you. Come on, Matty. You got to know better than that. More hot topics and Major League Baseball on the way. We're going to make money today on a Monday. I can feel it. It's Moneyline right here on the Sports Grid Network. A solo mission by Donnie Wrightside. We'll be right back after this short commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Preseason week one in the books, people. Preseason week two starts Thursday night. Philadelphia Eagles taking on the New England Patriots. We'll get a little glimpse of the starters here, which is something that we do want to see. But again, you can't take a lot out of preseason football. You just can't. Weeks one, weeks two, weeks three. Weeks two is probably the only one you want to pay attention to for the most part. But having said that, we actually got some interesting movement here in week number one. Now, also, how about this? We did a poll this morning on the early line, and we typically, it's called Fade the Public. Starts at hour number three each and every time. We ask the public what they think about a certain topic here. And I wanted to ask the public this as well, being on the radio. The new kickoff rule, how are you enjoying it? Do you like it? Do you think it's interesting? Can you not deal with it at this point? Because there are a lot of rule changes that come along with it. And we also saw a play, I believe, with the Jacksonville Jaguars game where a kick was in the end zone. They pulled it back. They took a knee. They were going to take it out to the 30. It turned out to be not only a touchback, but a safety at this point. There's some iron out and some kinks we have to know. But we did get a response here because obviously you can write in your response to whatever it is. I actually like the kickoff rule, and I'll get back to that in just a few moments. But it was basically a 50-50, yes and no, if they liked it or not. But I also agreed with this. Have you guys watched and noticed? And I noticed this quite a bit on a couple telecasts. I watched the Philadelphia Eagles game on Friday night, got some enjoyment out of that. Eagles end a long streak here for the Baltimore Ravens. Does it really matter? No, it doesn't. There's no popping the corks, no celebrations or anything like that, obviously. But the kickoff itself, did we not know this was coming from a television perspective? Whenever you've watched a kickoff in the past, it's easy to follow along. You see the kickoff, you follow the ball, it gets caught by the player. But somebody tweeted in this morning and was like, you know what? The camera angles are terrible. Sometimes you don't know if you're the only one that's paying attention to stuff like that, but he was absolutely spot on at that point. The fact that you sort of see the guy kick, then you don't really see the football. You see a bunch of players standing around. You see two players in the back, one like, you know, leading the way, one ready to catch it, and away you go. It's just not a fluid process right now. So I think that's going into a lot of what people's enjoyment of this play is because they don't know how to put it on camera yet, which is baffling to me. Just have the wide pan so you see the kickoff, even if it's just long way, right? If you're looking from the back of the end zone where the guy's going to receive the kick, where the kicker's all the way away, you'll be able to follow the flight of football and watch it so, so much easier the way they're doing it. So I think that has a big impact. But also, most of these teams right now, very vanilla on how they're covering the kicks and also if they have any special plays that they want to put in. We have seen some decent long returns, but right now, it's not really going like, oh man, it's going to be a jailbreak every single time. We'll wait to see in week number one if some of those changes, but I thought that was a very astute point where if you guys are like me, just watching the camera angle of that kickoff, it's really defeating the purpose. Now, if you were saying, Donnie, you like the kickoff as opposed to what it was, let's just say in the year 2000, no, I don't. Because we weren't getting a lot of touchbacks here and getting a ton of returns. But if you're asking me just to base this off of what we've seen the past couple years where nobody returns kicks, something had to change. Either A, we were taking it completely out of the sport and just starting on the 25-yard line, which quite honest, I would have been okay with if they did that. Or B, we're going to try to keep the kickoff in play and special teams in play by sort of modifying the rules to make it safe, but also get a lot of returns. And I think that's going to work in our favor, but certainly the jury is still going to be out. Now, the jury is going to be out on a couple of these rookie quarterbacks here that we have, right? You take a look at the Patriots 17-3 beat the Panthers last Thursday night. That showed us, I guess, Drake May, 2-for-3, 19 total yards. Is he going to be the starting quarterback here for the New England Patriots? We'll find out soon because I haven't read up yet on who's going to be the starting quarterback on Thursday night as the Patriots take on the Philadelphia Eagles. You would hope it would be Drake May. So you get a sense of what his evolution is going to be. Is it going to be he's not going to start, Jacoby Brissett's going to start because he's the veteran guy and May's not ready? Or let's really see what May has. Is the ultimate decider by maybe a one half of football? Rear the starting quarterback based on what you've done in practice, but just transpose it to the game. We'll find out. But I do think you're going to get a good look at Drake May against a majority of the Eagles starters, ones versus ones for at least a quarter of play. That would make some sense. So I can't come on and give you an opinion on Drake May based on his 2-of-3 for 19 yards. Sometimes you can look and say that they play the part. He's a big, strong, physical kid. He's got some mobility back there. Of course, it looks like he's probably going to be an NFL player. But if we're sort of rolling the dice on what we saw, I thought Michael Penix Jr. looked really good for the Atlanta Falcons. I understand it's backups here. I understand it's a very vanilla concept, but he looks like he belongs in the NFL. Sometimes that's all you can ask for top draft picks. You know who else I thought belonged in the NFL from their game? J.J. McCarthy, making deep long throws to backup players here while playing with backups sort of excited that crowd, where Sam Darnold were led to believe he is the starting quarterback in Minnesota. I don't know if that's going to be the case. Bo Nix of the Denver Broncos, he looks like he should be the starting quarterback over Jared Stidham. Come on now. Jared Stidham was number one on that roster? Stop the madness here. Enough of it. Some of these quarterbacks look ready to go, which includes Daniels and Williams, but it's time to talk Major League Baseball. Let's make some money on a Monday, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We'll be right back.
flavor in your ear. That's your boy Donnie Wrightside live on the radio. Solo mission today on a Monday. Make some money Monday. New week, new money Monday. Major League Baseball, which we're going to come into play in just a moment. One final hot topic out here. We talked about this morning on the early line, both myself and Ben. A Jory Epstein tweet from this weekend says, ahead of the Cowboys-Rams preseason game, Jerry Jones said he, quote, got in trouble the other day, quote, unquote, I should say, for saying signing CeeDee Lamb isn't urgent. Quote, I understood completely the angst that's happening. Whether you missed or not, well, CeeDee, you're missed, end quote. Thanks, Jerry Jones. And I said this morning, and I truly mean it. Jerry Jones doesn't hold any power over CeeDee Lamb. He has all the power. CeeDee Lamb has all the power in the building, and it's unbelievable that they haven't signed this guy yet. I don't know what they're waiting for at this point. I don't know if they don't think he's worth the money, but clearly, at worst, a top five wide receiver CeeDee Lamb is. He's been nothing short of really good, spectacular for the Dallas Cowboys. He's the linchpin on that offense who's going to allow them to have a good season on offense along with Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott didn't get his money this offseason. He'll get his money next year. We understand it. Dak Prescott's making $50-plus million a year. He's got plenty of money in the bank, national ads left and right for years here. He's not needing the money. CeeDee Lamb's trying to cash in. First time in the NFL. Now, granted, he was a high draft pick. He got good money right off the bat. There's no question. But not that high-priced money that you get once you hit your second contract. That's the goal of an NFL player and a professional. Get to the NFL. Get to that second contract as fast as you can. He deserves to be paid $25-plus million a year because he's that good at wide receiver, and other wide receivers are getting big dollars just like that. So we're led to believe that the Dallas Cowboys are just going to be able to sit on the sideline this year with CeeDee Lamb unhappy and maybe missing the start of the season. There's no way that doesn't happen. So here's what's going to happen for the Dallas Cowboys. CeeDee Lamb's going to sign a long-term lucrative contract over the next 2 weeks. So why did we waste all these months, all this time, and have all this animosity only to know that CeeDee Lamb actually holds the power over the Dallas Cowboys, not the other way around? Something to keep an eye on there, but let's get to some Major League Baseball talk today. All right. Setting the table and the overall outlook. Sometimes you get really excited for a Major League Baseball card. Sometimes you have sort of a lukewarm feeling. Well, right now I'm sort of having a lukewarm feeling just based on some of the statistics that we like to use, primarily those XFIP and XFIP minus numbers over the past 60 days. Now, today it's not a full card, but we do have a decent slate of 11 games. If we take a look at those 11 games, which theoretically 22 starting pitchers, but you don't just want to take some guys that have started maybe one or two times or have limited access. We'll get to those guys in just a second, because I do still think there are some opportunities to cash in and make some money on those guys. But if we're just trying to stick to the numbers that we like, I have 16 pitchers on my card today that we're going to focus on. That's the last 60 days of Major League Baseball, a minimum of 20 innings pitched. I have sort of a background of how these guys have been doing. If we're looking at the top five pitchers on the slate today, 66 XFIP, 68, 71, 71, and 79. That's Sale, that's Gray, that's Snell, that's Lopez, and that's Valdez. Guys that you probably don't want to touch. And by the way, Blake Snell, last 60 days, I know we don't like this number, but I do like to use it just as like a visual backboard. Snell's ERA is a 1.15. How's that even make sense? How's that even compute? And by the way, Blake Snell, you know he's taking on today? Chris Sale. You know where they're pitching? San Francisco, a pure pitcher's ballpark. And by the way, I do like San Francisco to win that game. I just think that shot that you took yesterday for the Atlanta Braves, like a death nail. Like, my goodness, like you were going to win that game. You're going to go away. You got Sale on the mound the next day to take on Snell. Let's see if we can put a couple wins together. They're free-falling right now. They really are free-falling, the Atlanta Braves. And the Phillies, who aren't playing great baseball by any stretch, love the fact that the Braves are free-falling at this point. But my goodness, nobody's touching those guys. If we flip it over to the opposite side, we take a look at the bottom five pitchers on the mound, which, again, aren't all that bad because, quite frankly, it's only four pitchers with a 100-plus XFIP minus number. Those are the guys that you want to fade. If you take a look at fifth right now, that's Freddy Peralta with a 99 XFIP minus. That's not even that bad. After that, it's Bowden Francis for Toronto, a 111 XFIP minus number. Not terrible. Luis Gil, a 114 XFIP minus number. By the way, Luis Gil, as we started off talking about on this radio program, guys, come on now. That dude's a 114 XFIP minus, which is 14% above the average and is a 330-plus favorite, depending on where you're shopping. Some as high as a 350 favorite. That's outrageous. Ben Lively here, a 116x fit minus, and the worst pitcher on the card is the Cincinnati Reds, Andrew Abbott, at a 125x fit minus number. And by the way, he's got an xFIP of 5.10 and a Sierra of 5. Disastrous across the board. So that's actually where we're going to start. First game on the board today. How about this? St. Louis and Cincinnati. If we're looking at the biggest pitching mismatch on the card today for eligible contributors, this is it. Sonny Gray is number 2 with a 68x fit minus. Andrew Abbott is 125x fit minus. That's the number 2 pitcher on the card, taking on the number 16 pitcher on the card. And the updated numbers here, let me just get the odds for this game. Minus 138 for Sonny Gray and the Cardinals, which is actually lower from the FanDuel Sportsbook opening number at a 144. That's interesting. Total opened at 9. That's now down to 8.5. But let's take a look at this game because, again, focusing on the standpoint of who you want to fade, it's obviously Andrew Abbott. So let's go over to the numbers for Andrew Abbott. Last 30 days, 300 ISO against and a weighted on base percentage of 445. That's disastrous. He's a left-handed pitcher that's been getting dominated on the season and the past 30 days by right-handed batters. You're not going to get a better starting lineup here that you're going to love to start this game off. Now, this is going to be tough for me because this is that we just go into alternate team total type asset. First five guys in the lineup are all right-handed batters. Wynn, Pham, Contreras, Goldschmidt, and Arenado. Let's start with the ISO power numbers. Again, you know the numbers we like. Give me a 165, 170 or higher to be an above average ISO power number. Last 30 days for Wynn, 344 ISO. Outrageously good. Tommy Pham, 364. Outrageously good. Wilson Contreras, 269. Very good. Paul Goldschmidt, 231. Still very good. And Nolan Arenado, a 333. Tremendous. So the first five batters in that lineup absolutely crush left-handed pitching. They should be able to do some damage today. So I don't even know if you want to write the names down, right? It's Wynn, Pham, Contreras, Goldschmidt, Arenado. You can't take five of those guys unless you're somewhat sort of a lunatic and ready to hit a lottery ticket. But a couple of those guys should be on your card. We'll focus later who those guys are going to be, but that is a good start to the day, which is loading up on batters for the St. Louis Cardinals. On the opposite side, to be honest, the Cincinnati Reds have a very good lineup today. But Sonny Gray, here's what's interesting. 505 batters he's faced on the season. 156 ISO. Very good. Weighted on base percentage, 286, very good. But let's take a look at his last 30 days. He has gotten lumped up a little bit, but maybe more, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, it's high strikeout number, low walk rate, maybe just getting a little bit unlucky. But having said that, the past 30 days, which includes 54 batters from the right side, he's got a 294 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 391 against. That's something that you might want to ponder here. Because like, as I said, you got some pretty good numbers on the Reds today against right-handed pitching over the past month with ISO, but it's not that even landscape that I absolutely love. And the fact that you just want to stick to the cards, right? No pun intended on the St. Louis Cardinals. Sonny Gray is that second best pitcher on the mound today, xFIP minus wise. He does have an ERA at 4.08, but look at his xFIP number. It's 2.75. That is absolutely spectacular. So I don't know if you want to go up against and take like a total in this game saying, Donnie, I know the Reds offense is good. Gray's been struggling a little bit like hit-wise against them. That maybe that makes some sense. So for me, you're just focused on the St. Louis batters in this lineup. Game number two, it's going to be Chicago, and that's Cleveland here. We'll set the table for this one. If we're looking at the pitchers, Shota Imanaga on the mound for the Chicago Cubs. Where do I have him listed today? 11th on the card at a 16, but again, it's a 95 xFIP minus for him. He's been very good in that aspect. A high ERA, but a lower xFIP number and a lower Sierra. I don't really know if you want to go after him in that aspect, but if we're looking from the opposite side, Ben Lively, that's a guy you want to fade. Now, we're coming up against a commercial break, so we're going to leave it right here. I want to go over some Chicago Cubs batters that you're going to want to have in your lineup tonight. There's cash to be made on a Monday. This is Moneyline. We're digging for those golden nuggets, baby. Sonny Wrightside will be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back out of here on Moneyline. We're going to get to the Cubs here, but there was an interesting thought process or topic, I should say, over the weekend. Breaking in the Olympics. Not going to be there in 2028 when it hits the homeland. They're taking that away. It was only a one-shot deal in France. but the Australian girl who got 0 points here, and some people are questioning if she actually was supposed to be in the Olympics. Great stuff. That's what you get when you have a tournament that's breaking. Who knows who's supposed to be there, who's good at it anyway across the world. And by the way, like, shouldn't Team USA have dominated breakdancing? But that's for here nor here, and here nor there, I should say. Or maybe for another day, which I don't know if we ever have that conversation again, if it never comes back to the Olympics, which it will not be in Los Angeles, which is quite funny at that point. But let's get back here to the Chicago Cubs and why I wanted to sort of delay and not rush through it. It's a couple batters that you might want to focus on in the middle of that lineup today for the Cubs to make some money. Ben Lively's on the mound, told you. He's one of the, and it's all, again, I value the bill. He's not a terrible pitcher. But if there's 16 pitchers on the card today, he's number 15. He should be one of the focal points on getting after him. A 116 xFIP minus number, an ERA that's 4.6, elevated xFIP number, and elevated Sierra numbers here. He's a right-handed pitcher. He's done very well over the past 30 days against right-handed batters, to the tune of a 116 ISO power number and a weighted on-base percentage of 233. However, left-handed batters are cracking Ben Lively, and that's where we want to focus. Last 30 days through 69 at-bats, 288 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 353. Lining up today for the Chicago Cubs in that lineup. Now, this Cubs game, not at home. It's going to be in Cleveland. Cleveland needs the victory. Chicago wants to try to hang around in that wild card race, so it is a big game. Told you, Shota Imanaga is a better pitcher right now than Ben Lively, and maybe that's the way you lean. But I want to go towards left-handed batters in that Cubs lineup. And that starts. Number two, Michael Busch. 78 at-bats against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days, a 232 ISO power number, and a weighted on-base percentage of 367. Also, Cody Bellinger, 34 at-bats against right-handed pitching over the past month, a 226 ISO, and a 379 weighted on-base percentage, and also, maybe in the running, 8-hole hitter Pete Crow Armstrong, 65 at-bats going up against right-handed pitching over the past month, a 233 ISO power number. But for me, I'm looking right at the top of that lineup. Michael Busch and Cody Bellinger probably need to be in your lineup tonight. So those are two guys to remind ourselves. So even on a card that we're not loving all that much from a pitching perspective, we just reviewed the first two games of the day, 640 starts, with maybe the two most fadeable pitchers that you can have. You could take your chances on a majority of that early lineup here for the Cardinals, and then two batters for the Cubs, which include, once again, Michael Busch and Cody Bellinger. Houston and Tampa Bay, 6:50 p.m. tonight. Framber Valdez on the mound, one of the better pitchers on the card. 79 xFIP minus, top five over the past 60 days on this card, going up against Taj Bradley, who does pitch very well typically at home. So in that game, we're going to skip over. No real options all the way through. Here's one of the games that you're going to want to pay attention to, and maybe you have to take a little bit of a grain of salt. Tyler Mahle came back to Major League Baseball through 21 batters and had a very good start. If we're lining him up against the Boston Red Sox are at home in this game. 70 degrees of temperatures, which is not, you know, crazy warm, but a wind is blowing out to right field at about 8 miles per hour. Here's the interesting part about this. Mahle, you can't really go off the numbers that he has this year. He's your everyday average pitcher. Take a look at that lineup for the Boston Red Sox, though. First four batters, weighted on base percentage, 462, 434, 403, and 476. That's Duran, Abreu, Yoshida, and Devers, all against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. All of those batters from the left-hand side. Then you skip over Dominic Smith, great numbers as well through 56 at-bats against right-handed pitching. Then you have a couple guys that don't have a lot of power but get on base, Nick Sogard and Sedane Rafaela. That's one of those lineups that you're going to have to take a look at a little bit later tonight, because I do like the fact that the majority of the batters I would play in that game, if I do, will be lefties, wind blowing out the right field against a right-handed pitcher. You get the point. Get one up there in the jet stream. Maybe the one goes to the warning track, wind's blowing out. That one can leave the ballpark there for us. Bello, for the Boston Red Sox to be on the mound today. Not a great pitcher by any faction, but having said that, he's seventh on the card with an 88 xFIP minus, but an elevated ERA. Depending on what you guys like, you know me. I'm not a big ERA guy, so I do tend to look at what he's done overall with his xFIP minus numbers. Having said that, Corey Seager, 68 at-bats against right-handed pitching over the past month, a 328 weighted on base, 328 ISO, 425 weighted on base percentage. Corey Seager's got to have a serious thought about being on that card. So there, through four games, there are a couple batters that we really like. That's why we said we're going to uncover some of these gems, because it's generally not a pitching card that we love, but sometimes the opportunity creeps up. You got to take advantage of it. Case in point, coming up next year, Brady Singer for the Kansas City Royals is taking on the Minnesota Twins. Brady Singer's eighth on the card with a very manageable xFIP minus number of 90. In ERA over the past 60 days, 2.72. How about that? Let's have a little elevated Sierra number at a 4.11. But here's the issue that we have to make up. 301 batters he's faced on the season from the left side. The 197 ISO and a weighted on base percentage, 375. Both of those numbers are elevated. Let's go over the last 30 days with Brady Singer as a right-handed pitcher. Struggling once again with left-handed batters, a 175 ISO, and a weighted on base percentage of 403. Look at the middle of that lineup today, because right-handed batters, Singer has absolutely been filthy against and dominating. But Castro will be a left-handed batter. Larnach will be a left-handed batter. Walner will be a left-handed batter. Kepler as well as Santana. And of those batters, Larnach, a 178 ISO, which is still above average and decent, but with a 366 weighted on base percentage. That's solid. But check out Matt Walner. Due to hit cleanup today, as we anticipate, 47 at-bats against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days, a 475 ISO and a 510 weighted on base percentage. So if we're just being honest, typically you need to leave this game off the card because Singer does have good xFIP minus numbers. But can you leave a guy that has close to a 500 ISO and weighted on base percentage off of it? I don't know if we can do that. So two possibilities, Larnach and Walner there. Lopez on the other side, I don't really think we're going to fade him all that much, but two good hitting lineups, to be honest, against two decent pitchers, something has to give. I'll tell you what else has to give. A minus 330 to minus 350 favorite today, Luis Gil and the New York Yankees, not at home in the Bronx, people. They're on the road in Chicago at Guaranteed Rate Field. Monster favorite, and why not? Everybody stinks on the White Sox, including their pitchers, which again, we're going to talk about a pitcher in Kai Busch. Only 20 batters he's faced this year. Numbers a little bit shaky. He's a left-handed pitcher. He's going to face a lot of right-handed power bats, but I'm going to tell you who I'm actually focusing on here for the New York Yankees. And hint, it's not a right-handed batter. Major League Baseball on a Monday, right here on Moneyline, Sirius XM Channel 159. Johnny Wright's out in the morning. He's got a good ring to the team.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Talking about those New York Yankees, they're going up against Kai Busch. He's basically a minus 350 fan from the road. Sounds insane. But that's just Major League Baseball. The haves and the have-nots right now really coming into play in August. I don't know how many more games Chicago is going to win down the stretch, but do you really want to lay that much money? And we talk about a pitcher like Luis Gil. He's actually 14th out of 16 eligible on the card today. I don't want to back him there. So you know what the better way to do that is? Take plus money on the opposite side. Left-handed pitcher Kai Busch. I don't know how long he's going to be in the game, but a younger pitcher here. Only saw him through 20 batters so far. Very good against righties. Struggled a little bit against the two lefties that he's faced here, but that's not even the point. Juan Soto's been crushing left-handed pitching all season long, particularly over the past 30 days. 33 at-bats over the past 30 days, a 308 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 378. But if you are looking from it, say, hey, why don't you just take Aaron Judge? Aaron Judge hasn't been as good over the past 30 days against left-handed pitching as he has against righties, which figures he should be able to crush left-handed pitching. Neither is Giancarlo Stanton here, but Gleyber Torres, he's got good numbers. So does Jazz Chisholm. Gleyber Torres has a 368 ISO power number through his last 21 at-bats against left-handed pitching. And Jazz Chisholm, a 233 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 367. So if I was looking at two batters just going blind, because again, technically Kai Busch doesn't have enough for us to actually make a sound decision on, but Soto and Torres probably have to be on your list as some options. Los Angeles Dodgers, Milwaukee Brewers today. Clayton Kershaw is going to be on the mound. I can't trust that guy. You just can't do it. Freddie Peralta's an average pitcher out here, but he had two good-looking lineups tonight. The Dodgers against right-handed pitching, and by the way, anticipated in that lineup, the return of Mookie Betts, which adds another force there. Ohtani's been crushing right-handed pitching. Freddie Freeman the same. Teoscar Hernandez, absolutely. Gavin Lux, yep, you guessed it. Even Kike Hernandez, and now Mookie Betts back into that lineup. If we look at the Dodgers perspective from Clayton Kershaw on the mound, a good-looking lineup here again today for the Milwaukee Brewers. Churio, Hoskins, Sanchez, Perkins, Ortiz, Frelick, Montesario, 442 ice, or weighted on base percentage for him. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys out of 9 elevated numbers. So forget about the side itself where it's a coin flip. I think you're going to get runs in this game. And you don't need a ton of them. What's the updated number here? Just make sure I say Peralta, Kershaw, 8 even across the board. I think they get 8 runs plus in this game. I think that's certainly doable. 2 pitchers, pedigree, yes. Lineup's looking good. Mookie Betts back in that lineup. I'm a little bit excited about the game. I think we get some totals. Toronto and Los Angeles. Bowden Francis out here in these streets for Toronto. Really struggling. 216 batters this year he's faced. A 224 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 357. Get out of town. Take a look at right-handed batters against Mr. Francis. On the season, a 277 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 400. Zach Neto, people, should be in your lineup tonight from a Los Angeles perspective. Davis Daniel on the mound here. Boy, do we got some left-handed batters we can torch here or not. Do you trust Addison Barger? If you're just looking at the numbers, you probably should. Third baseman batting left-handed, going up against right-handed pitching over the past month. 28 batters he's faced. A 308 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 354. Going up against Davis Daniel over the past 30 days, faced 24 lefties and has gotten cracked by all of them, it feels like, with a 273 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 378. Something to ponder. I got to do some research on this. Oh, my goodness. Arizona, has been hot as a pistol. Going up against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days, I'm just going to read you statistics that don't make any sense whatsoever. The 9 batters we anticipate tonight for the Arizona Diamondbacks, again, against right-handed pitching over the past month. Let's just do the ISO power numbers. And I told you, 170 is basically where you want to be. Anything higher than that is great. Corbin Carroll, 441 ISO. Marte, 468 ISO. Jock Peterson, 512 ISO. Josh Bell, 413 ISO. Adrian Del Castillo, who only has 8 at-bats, he's got a 571 ISO throughout those 8 at-bats. Jake McCarthy, 324. Eugenio Suarez, 364. Alec Thomas, 206. Geraldo Perdomo, 196. I'm baffled right now. Everybody high ISO. Just about everybody weighted on base percentage. Just about everybody low K percentage. Just about everybody with high walk numbers. I have to do some numbers on this. Because Colorado, even though they did beat yesterday and felt good taking the series against the Braves, I got to check into this game at 9:40. Because as I'm telling you right now, getting these first looks with you guys on the air, I'm starting to get even more excited. Which again, going against some of my principles, but how do you look at that Arizona Diamondbacks lineup and not absolutely fall in love? Pittsburgh, San Diego. San Diego is going to end up beating Pittsburgh there. And I do think the nightcap here, plus 100 on the Giants, does make some sense. We're going to make some money tonight, people, for JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside on Moneyline, another solo mission. We'll be back on a Tuesday. Good luck with the rest of the day.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.